in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." I appreciate the privilege, the opportunity of being with you. Brother Martin has already mentioned he and I had a delightful day today. Brother Wagner joined us later in the day. We just had good conversation and good fellowship. There are very few things more encouraging to me than the steady stream of able, energetic, dedicated young men that God is calling and sending out into the ministry. As Brother Will and I were sitting here and visiting, I kept reminding myself, I used to be that age. Not so long ago. You know, it's amazing how fast time passes. At the moment, an expression comes to mind. Have you heard the expression, too soon old, too late smart? Enjoyed sitting, listening to him, learning from him. You know, we have a lot to say about young preachers learning from the older preachers. If the older preacher has his wits about him, he needs to be listening to the young preacher, realizing the young preacher can teach him just as surely as it's the other way around. Doesn't the Bible say something somewhere about an old and foolish king who will no longer be instructed? I believe there's a verse somewhere that says that, isn't there? Job talked about somebody, used an expression, "No doubt but ye are the people and wisdom shall die with you." What a plague that is when sometimes, because we've been around for a while, we get the idea that there's a lot we can learn from others. A lot we can learn from the energy and the dedication of youth. Now, talking about I've been around for a while doesn't mean that I've lost any interest in it. Brother Martin and I were talking today. I've been at it for a while. I'm well into my 57th year of trying to preach, so there's been some water under the bridge. But I can tell you now that I'm more excited about preaching the gospel. Enjoy it more than I ever have in my life, and I've always enjoyed it. What a delight it is to stand before a group of God's humble poor and talk about the greatest subject on earth.
Yes.
The salvation of poor, hell-deserving sinners. God didn't need me. Doesn't need preachers. There are other ways he could have done it. God could sound the trumpet from on high the way he did at Mount Sinai. You remember what happened there? God's voice shook the very planet. from on high, got everybody's attention. After it was over, Paul says, so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake, scared the living daylights out of me. And the people got up a delegation and sent them to talk to Moses. And said, now Moses, you talk to the Lord. You talk to the Lord and ask him not to do that anymore. Oh, there are other ways God could have done it. God could sound that trumpet from on high. He could call on the angelic chorus to sing in a way that none of us have ever been able to sing. He could write the gospel across the heavens in huge boxcar letters. And he would have gotten everybody's attention. You know, we don't have people's attention nowadays, very few people. We Primitive Baptists talk sometimes about how we're persecuted. And Christians are being persecuted today in a way that they have never been persecuted in our lifetimes. But for the most part, in spite of the fact there is persecution in the world, and becoming more so every year, we're not being persecuted near as much as they are ignoring us. Just not paying any attention to us, really. God could have gotten everybody's attention. But for some reason, he chose to use poor, unworthy sinners of Adam's race. He could have done it the other way, but I'm right glad he did it this way. Because I very much enjoy the effort. Sometimes we preachers complain about the rough way that we have to go. And there are problems in the ministry. Oh, certainly there are problems. But I tell you, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. The angel, you remember, said to John, take the little book. And he said, eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter. There are going to be some difficult experiences along the way. But he said, it'll be in thy mouth. Sweet. Sweet as honey. No sweeter experience than to talk about our Maker, Savior of sinners. The text I've read to you is probably the most familiar text, or one of the very most familiar texts in the Bible. I have an idea that every person here has heard it preached on 100 times or more. But I want to tell you about it again. I tell my folks back home sometimes, until you can tell it the same way I tell it, I'm going to keep on telling it. And when you get to where you can tell it the same way I can tell it, I expect I'll still keep on telling it, because I just like to tell it. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. There is probably not another text in the Bible that is more agreed on and more disagreed on than that text is. If you were to ask 100 evangelical Christians, Do you believe in the necessity of being born again? How many of those 100 evangelical Christians do you think would say, I believe in being born again? Do you think maybe 100? So most every evangelical Christian agrees on the necessity of being born again. And yet the disagreement comes in what it means to be born again. What is the difference between a person who has been born again and one who has not been born again? You see, there's a world of difference between the two. For one thing, it's the difference between life and death. Paul says in the Ephesian letter, and you have he quickened who were dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins. Do you see, that person who has never been born again is dead. So on one level, the difference between a person who has been born again and one who has not been born again is the difference between life and death. Another difference is that in being born again, a person receives an entirely different life, a different kind of life, and with that new life, there come new senses that the person who is not born again does not have and cannot have, not in that dead state. You and I are alive. A pet dog is alive. A dog has senses that resemble ours. He can see. I'd have to visit this every now and then. Some of you know I had throat cancer last year when about 8 months couldn't preach. Part of the time couldn't talk, had radiation. Left me with a bad case of dry mouth. The doctor says live with it. It could be that way. So at least he says you can live with it. Well, that made good sense to me. You know, at least I can live with it. Anyway, I'll have to keep visiting that because I do have a little problem with dry mouth. But anyway, an animal has senses that resemble yours and mine. You can see, dog can see. You can hear, he can hear. They tell me that the dog can hear better than you can. That he can hear a whistle, for instance, that you and I can't hear. You can smell, he can smell. They tell me that some kinds of dogs have a sense of smell 600 times keener than ours. I guess that's right. I don't have any way of disproving it. He can taste, he can feel. He can love, a dog can hate, he can hold a grudge. If you don't believe a dog can hold a grudge, you forget that you've been tormenting your neighbor's Rottweiler, and you get within the length of his chain, and he will teach you he can hold a grudge. Now, dogs have senses similar to ours. Our daughter, her husband, have a pet dog. Very partial to that dog. They'll tell you that dog thinks it's a human. That doesn't bother me. Does bother me when they refer to me as that dog's granddad. I don't have any children. But anyway, it's all right if they want to talk about that dog feeling like it's a human. But don't call me that dog's granddad. But anyway. Now, animals have senses, some of them keener than ours. Sometimes folks are so attached to their pets, they'll tell you that animal thinks it's human. But you'll never find a dog that can read a book. or write a poem. You see, they have senses similar to ours, but they're very different. Now, the dead alien sinner, by nature, has senses that resemble the senses of the born-again child of God. But the difference between the senses that the dead alien sinner has and the senses that the child of God has are far, far different than the senses that the animal has compared to the senses that a human has. You see, there are senses that the child of God, being born again, being made alive, having this new life in Christ Jesus, has that the dead alien sinner has nothing like that. Let me give you an illustration. The child of God can hear things that that alien sinner can't hear. He can feel things that that alien sinner can't feel. Taste things that that alien sinner cannot taste. Didn't Peter say something about, so thee ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious? Now, there are things that the born-again child of God can hear, the dead alien sinner can't hear. Let me give you an illustration. If I were to tell you that I know for a fact that this building is just literally rocking with all kinds of music, I can't hear it. Can you hear the jazz music just flowing through this building? I can't hear it. Can you? Can you hear the rock and roll? Classical? Country and Western? I can't hear a bit of it. Now, the reason, even though I know for a fact that music is just filling this building, the reason that I cannot hear it is because I do not have a receiver. Now, if I had a receiver, even a little transistor receiver, better still, a nice Bose unit. Now, there's not a person in the building that can hear that music unless maybe there's somebody out there with a transistor radio and an earplug that's tuning me out. But unless that's the case, nobody here can hear that music, but if you had a receiver, you could hear every bit of it. Now let me ask you, would that transistor radio put that music in the air? It's already here. But you cannot hear it because you don't have a receiver. Now, having said that, it wouldn't surprise you if I tell you that there are all kinds of pictures. Moving pictures. Every kind of scene imaginable floating through the air, which you could see if you had a television with an antenna. Do you see? Paul said to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us. I'm having trouble quoting the verse. I do that sometimes. It's strange. Sometimes I'll quote a verse three times in a sermon, and then the fourth time I reach for it and can't get it. I'll never be able to explain that. But anyway. In the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, verse 12 is what I'm reaching for. That's what can brought up. Verse 12. Now we have not received the things of the we have not received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given us of God. Verse 14. Okay, pardon me. I'll get there. Give me time. But But the natural man, here's what I'm reaching for. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Do you believe it's an accident that the King James translators use that word receive there? You see, the King James translators didn't know anything about radios. But God knew there weren't going to be such things as radios. And he knew that we were going to call them receivers. So he used exactly that. He moved those men to use exactly that word here in this verse so that we could make the connection. I love the simple connections of the Bible. I like the way the Bible just snaps together. Kind of like the couplings on a railway car. You know, they just couple together like they were made to fit. Well, they are. And there are verses in the Bible that are like that. They just snap together. I don't believe that a person has to be a genius in order to understand this book. Paul said to the Corinthians, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity..." Simplicity and godly sincerity. We have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you, Word. Do you see, there are some things that the dead alien sinner cannot hear. Some things he cannot see. Some things he cannot feel. He's incapable of it.